Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to the Word at Noon. I do apologize, brothers and sisters. I'm not playing any music today. Matter of fact, I don't even have my internet is down. So we're going to do the best we can do. But we're going to have a word of prayer. Okay. And we're going to go from there. Father God, we come with thanksgiving in our heart. Your word says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and everything give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for your word, because the word says that in everything give thanks. So we thank you, Father God, for the word, because it is in the word that we learn who we are and whose we are. And again, brothers and sisters, I do apologize. We're just going to take authority right now over the enemy. We binding that up. Anything that was into this broadcast, come against it. Bind it in the name of Jesus right now. We still have a clip from Pastor Bill on yesterday. So we want to continue to lift her up. My understanding is that she has had COVID. And so, but thank God she's over it. I didn't realize she had had COVID. And, but God is able. And we are so happy. Okay. I was trying to get some confirmation to make sure that I was on the air. Because, like I said, my computer down. I don't have nowhere. I'm doing a mobile thing here. I'm just praying that this is working. And I know that the Bible says, and we know that all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord and call according to his purpose. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. I just got confirmation that I am on, so that's a great thing. Hallelujah. So, Father God, we thank you for healing Pastor Bill. We thank you for Evangelist Ursula, her family. Continue to lift them up before you and everybody around her that's in California. We just thank you for it in Jesus' name. And then, Father God, we just ask you to let us decrease and you increase here in your word. We're going to pick up where we left off, brothers and sisters. We're in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. And God have instructed me to tell his people, believers, now not everybody, but those that are true believers, that they are to be part of the new covenant. And this new covenant have a high priest, and that high priest is Christ. That's why he says for us to seek those things above where Christ sits at the right-hand side of the Father. And God have instructed me to tell people, according to Hebrews 8, and I don't have the material I usually read from, but I'm going to do the best I can, and y'all just keep me lifted. The point of what we are saying is this. We do have such a high priest who sat the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven and who serves in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle, set up by the Lord, and not by man. That's very important, brother and sister, to you catch that revelation. That's the sanctuary you want to be part of. And there's an old and there's a new. The new covenant has a new sanctuary, not built by man. And that's where we're to worship at. And I had left off yesterday sharing that there's a difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. The old covenant, man was went into the building. The new covenant, we go right into the throne room of God. Matter of fact, the Bible said we come boldly before the throne of grace. That's what we do. In the old covenant, that was under Moses. dispensation. That was under Moses' tutelage, if you will. The new covenant is under Christ. The old covenant, it pointed to Christ. Because when God showed Moses the plan, it was about Christ coming and about the sanctuary. So he said, I want you to build one on earth so man will have an idea. Once he entered into the holy of holiness, they're going to understand. This is why we have animal blood, brothers and sisters. That was going to be a type of what God was going to do with blood. Because Leviticus 17 and 11 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. So God, there again, let me apologize. I can't see the screen. My internet is down. So you all, I'm just, like I said, I'm going to have to try to do this all along. I won't get no one else to help read because I can't see the screen. But anyway, in the Old Testament, the gifts and sacrifice was by those who had was guilty of sin, according to Hebrews 8, 3, and 4. That was the old. But in the new, because of Christ, self-sacrifice, Christ, he took it and bared it for us. In the Old Testament, Hebrews 8, 5 and 6, and Hebrews 10 and 12 said the focus was on the physical building where one goes to worship. In the new, you focus on the range of Christ in believers' heart. See? So God is directly involved in your life. Where before, God was not directly involved in your life as long as you were going to the building. But now, God is directly involved in our lives. Remember Hebrews 8, well, actually 5 and 6 and 10. It says that that tabernacle, the sanctuary, all of that was just a shadow. Read it. Hebrews 8, 5 through 6, and Hebrews 10, and verses 12. Also, it was just a shadow, but that's in the Old Testament because they saw the building and so forth. But in the New Covenant or the New Testament, it's a reality. It's not temporary. It's eternal. That's very important, brothers and sisters. People say, oh, where you worship don't matter. It does matter. It matters where you worship. Don't believe that. It matters where you worship. That's what the scripture is telling you. It matters. Christ has kept the agreement where the people couldn't. They couldn't keep the agreement. So you can trust God. We couldn't trust those priests that were offering blood sacrifices. We couldn't trust them. But we can trust Christ. He has an eternal stand. Christ put his word in our heart before they was in the on the tables. The difference between the old and the new is what we're talking about. The Mosaic covenant and the new Mosaic covenant proves that the old covenant was a shadow of the real Christ. So everything that they was teaching was a shadow of what was to happen, man. That's what was going on. Y'all bear with me here. It was a shadow. The old covenant failed the agreement by the people. But in the new covenant, Christ is faithful. to the agreement. In the old, they were limited access to God. As long as you're in the building, you got limited access to God. But in the new, it's unlimited access to God. Ooh, somebody ought to shout hallelujah on that one. Yeah. Matter of fact, in the Old Testament, according to Hebrews 9, verses 9 and 10, it was a legal cleansing. But in the new covenant, or under the new covenant, personal cleansing. And it comes from the heart. It's what the Word of God does. Also, they continue to make a covenant every year. They had to bring their sacrifice. We don't have to do that. Now, I know people, they go to church, but they don't even know why they're going. That's why Jesus told them over there in John 4, the woman was at the well. Jesus said, you don't even know why you up here. The Jews over there in Jerusalem, at least they know that they're there for salvation. But God ain't looking for that kind of worship. Go back and read it. God is not looking for that kind of worship. He's looking for someone to worship him in spirit and in truth. So Jesus said that neither in this place or in the mountains or in Jerusalem, but the day is coming when man shall worship God in spirit and in truth. That day has arrived. That day has arrived. See, there is no more bringing sacrifice up there to the temple. There is no more blood of an ox or a bull or ashes of a heifer. None of that anymore. If our hearts is not changed, and following God's rule would be unpleasant, and it would be real difficult to keep all the laws. Because if you keep one, you got to keep them all. If you break one, you done broke them all. That was what the law was all about. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. See, so you got to understand that the end of the law is done away with. Anything associated with the law, past tense, brothers and sisters, please hear me. And then do your research. Hallelujah. Don't take my word, no other man's word for it. Do your research. When it comes to pertaining to the things of the law, you either keep one part or you... So people running to churches, they're not keeping in accordance. Yes, Satan will let you fight all day about what day should you serve. He don't care. He wants you to serve a day. That's what he wants, because he don't want you serving God. Saturday's fine with Satan. Sunday's fine with Satan. That's what he wants. He wants you serving a day. And fuss about it, argue about it, debate about it. But that ain't where God wants you at. God wants you in him and not on a certain day. Christ is bigger than that. Christ is the resurrection. And that's why he wants us to be part of the resurrection. So he says, if you then be risen with Christ. See, he wants us to live a resurrected life. And the only way you can live a resurrected life, you got to crucify the flesh and everything with it. But I did want to continue on teaching on the difference in the covenant, okay? Because, listen, brothers and sisters, let me tell you why. Then you're going to understand scripture like 2 Peter 1 and 4. It says, a partaker of a divine nature. How can you be partakers of a divine nature when you're not operating in divinity? And you can. You just got to take your part. Remember, you're the apple of our Father's eye. Remember, the Bible have declared and decreed that we're sons and daughters of God. The Bible have decreed and declared in 1 Corinthians 3:16, 1 Corinthians 6:19, that we're his temple. That's what we are. We're his temple. We're the body of Christ, Ephesians 5:30. That's what we are. So if he's a spirit, we're not separated. We're not separated. There's one body. And that's why it makes it possible to have one body, one faith, one Lord. So when you see all these different denominations, they're not part of, because see, I'm not part of a denomination. I'm into Christ. And that's what God wants. He wants all of us to be into Christ. So we have one body, one faith, one Lord. I don't know how many I mentioned, but I had said yesterday I was going to do probably about 30 of them. But anyway, the first covenant, so you'll know that there is a difference. You had the old and the new. So the first covenant is the old covenant, but yet it's the new covenant, because the new covenant was first, but Moses was admonished to build what he saw exactly. So actually he was building the second covenant, because the first covenant hadn't yet been made possible, because Christ was not here, but he made a type of, so that the people could understand pretty much what God was doing. So when you read, we'll read this, Second Corinthians 3:14. 2 Corinthians 3:14. 2 Corinthians 3:14 reads like this. Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelite from gazing at it, while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull. They couldn't see this stuff. For to this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed. Listen, brothers and sisters, as long as you stay under the old covenant, you won't see this stuff. You won't see it. Only when you get in the new covenant. So when you read the first, second Corinthians 3:6, you'll see there is another covenant, man. He says this. He has made us contempt as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the spirit. For the letter killeth, but the spirit give life. The Old Testament killeth. It's the new covenant that give life. Because see, as long as you operate under the old covenant, there's a veil there. You can't see this stuff. Only when you start operating in the new are you able to see this or see what I'm talking about. Then, of course, you want to have to act on the word of God and become a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. The first covenant, the Bible says in Hebrews 8:7 and Hebrews 9:1. I don't have the King James Version with me now, but in the 7th and 8th verse, it reads like this. Maybe this is I got a Bible here. It's a living Bible. Let's see here. But the minister Jesus had received is a superior to theirs, as the covenant of which he is mediator is superior to the old. Now, you don't have to know nothing but that right now. Know that being in Christ's ministry is superior to being in Moses' ministry, to operating in the new sanctuary, which God built, is superior to the old. It is so much better. The Bible says it was found on better promises. For if it had been nothing wrong with the first covenant, no place would have been sought for another. Now, let me put this in plain layman terms. If it was nothing wrong with going to church, why would God have another covenant? Why would he have another temple? Why would he have another sanctuary, another tabernacle? If it was nothing wrong with the building, why would he do this again? Listen, brothers and sisters, don't allow the enemy to bamboozle you. Well, I ain't never heard of that before. You don't have to. It's called revelation knowledge. Get your Bible, read it, and watch what God show you. He's going to show you this stuff. Moses' covenant was called the law of sin and death. Christ's covenant was called the law of righteousness, called the law of the spirit of life that is in Christ. Big difference. Moses was called the law of the flesh in Romans 7, verses 5. And 6. Christ is called the law of the spirit of life and made me free from the law of sin and death. See, when you're operating in the law of the spirit of life, I want you to catch this. When you're operating in the law of spirit of life, you're no longer operating under the law of sin and death, because that's the old covenant. You're up under the yoke of bondage. You're no longer up under that now because you're under Christ. You're seated. The Bible says we're seated with Christ. You're seated with Christ. So if you're seated with Christ, bless God, then you are partakers of a heavenly sanctuary. The ninth verse, or the ninth chapter, I'm going to go back there for a moment, but I wanted to go back there. And I think I'll just pick up about the sixth and eighth verse, where it talks about the high priest could enter the most high place according to 9 and 3. Or the inner room, which you talk about 9 and 7. It gives the earthly view of it, then it gives the heavenly view, which means right now. It's a right now tabernacle. That's where Christ is at. The innermost room of the tabernacle, where they went in there once a year, Christ went in there once. Never go anymore. The most holy place in that sanctuary was in the, what is called the tabernacle. It was two parts of it. And the top, only one could go to the tabernacle was the priest, the high priest. The priest and the others went to the sanctuary. Only the high priest could go into what is called the Holy of Holiness. That's where Christ at. That's why we're to honor him and give him his due, because he's in the most holy place. Matter of fact, the Bible says he's above that. He's above the heavens. He's above the heavens. It says, but see, it gives the comparison. That's what it does. Of the most high place. And it tells a story. Let me put a pen there right quick. What you think about is like this. When you read the book of Hebrews, it's telling you the history of God's promise. And it even tell you what have happened in the midst of the promise, how some of them believed and they went on. And those that didn't believe, they fell by the wayside. Yeah, and the devil eat them up. He'll give them big churches. He'll do all that. Because the last thing he wants you to do is have eternal life. So the book of Hebrews tells the story of the Israelites and the way they worship, how they worship, and what God expected. So he says the first covenant had regulation for worship and also earthly sanctuary. What it goes on to say when you read the ninth chapter, a tabernacle will sit up in its first room, the lampstand. It explains how it was set up. It wants you to have a visual of this. Even the golden cover of the Ark of the Covenant. It wants you to see this vision so that you're going to understand the spiritual side of it now. So when everything had been arranged, just like in the flesh, the high priest entered regularly into an outer room to carry on the ministry. Christ has a ministry. The Bible says he is the minister of the heavenly sanctuary and of the temple of God that God made and not man. Christ only went in there once. You don't have to go in there every year to plead for the people. Then they was conscious of sin. But once you covered by the blood of Christ, there is no conscience. Because you don't practice sin, you practice righteousness. And righteousness, brothers and sisters, please understand, is not what we've been taught. We've been taught righteousness. Well, as long as you ain't drinking with somebody, as long as you ain't sleeping with somebody, they give you all this old worldly stuff, and they say, okay, you right. They lying to you. That's just a hole you to keep you in some kind of little box, to keep you practicing being a do-gooder. That's what I like to call it, a do-gooder. But it has nothing to do. These people were required, according to the 13th, verse of the ninth chapter, they was required to take the blood of a goat or bull and the ashes of a heifer on those through some type of ceremony that had unclean sacrifice. Them, so they are outwardly clean, but they were not inwardly clean. So what this covenant does, Christ does, he cleaned us inwardly. And then the Bible says, how much more, if that did the hour, how much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself unblemished to God, cleanse our conscience from the act that leads to death? So that's what happened. When Christ really take over your life, and he began to guide and direct you, you become a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. We're going to kind of leave it right there. We'll pick it all up tomorrow. I do apologize for those that was expecting to read and to pray and stuff. So we'll see you all on tomorrow for the word at noon.